Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Canadian jazz vocalist Deanne Matley. We talked to her about her new 2022 CD, The Alberta Lounge. That's the club where Canadian jazz legend Oscar Peterson was first discovered in Montreal. Alberta also happens to be the name of the province where she grew up and started her music career 10 years ago. Today, she is a flexible performer with a repertoire in English and French, performing to audiences at clubs and festivals in Canada, France, and even Mongolia. Enjoy the story.
Hi, Deanne. It's Joe D'Amino with Neon Jazz.
Hey, Joe. How are ya?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking a minute out to the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
So the Alberta Lounge, the new album's coming out during a time where hopefully and thankfully there's more live shows, things are opening up. What kind of a relief does this album mean for you to have it come out right now?
Oh, well, for me, yes. I mean, working on this project over the last couple of years is what kind of kept me sane. So it's like to finally like release this baby into the world is like amazing. It's like, look at the work I was doing. I was busy, I promise. Yeah, and actually I'm celebrating the release today by performing with the circus.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm a circus performer. Now, I don't do fancy acrobats or anything, but as I'm a vocal performer. Then, yeah, and the next Saturday, I'm actually performing with a big band and put the Alberta Lounge, the track The Alberta Lounge, is actually now in a big band arrangement. So I'm super stoked about that because I get to hear my baby, my original, was like, you know, 18-piece big band. And it's like, yes! And, of course, I get to sing it. But, yeah, and it's just great to have fresh, you know, a fresh album. I haven't released an album since, like, a full album since 2018. So I feel like this is my grown-up album.
Talk to me about what went into this album. What was your vision for it?
So my vision was, originally it was going to be a tribute to Oscar Peterson, and then it became more of an inspired by Oscar Peterson. And as I was, you know, doing my research on Oscar, I realized that he was discovered at this club in Montreal called the Alberta Lounge. And I was like, I'm from Alberta, born and raised the province. And I'm like, this is a very cool tie-in. So it was like this instant download, as I call them. Like, I got to write a song about this. Like, it's happening. And it just came and it just swung hard. And I was like, let's go. This tune is on fire. I love it so much. And the rest of the music was chosen from his vast array of repertoire, a couple of his own originals, and as well as other covers that he's recorded. And so it was really cool to just do a lot of listening, as I like to do, and just like, yeah, that'd be a great tune for this. Oh, yeah, Oscar played that tune, recorded it with so-and-so, perfect, you know, and then I came up with my list, and it was just like, now let's make this contemporary with a slice of traditional, as I like to say. So it's got more of a contemporary sound, but there is some still traditional in the mix.
So, you know, during this time of COVID, you know, we all had more time to reflect on our lives and all kinds of things. What did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as you promote this album?
Oh my gosh, I had to let go of a lot of perfection. It was like, okay, so this isn't a thing for a while. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I actually almost thought about quitting altogether. I know I'm not alone in this. And I realized that it's really about the connection and not so much, you know, and letting go of the perfection, because if I want to continue doing music, I really want it to be fun. This is what creating is about. It's about being fun. And so I just started going into the studio and just recording singles and having like no pressure, no stress. Just like, let's just go have some fun when we could get into the studio. It was like, hallelujah. The first time I went back to the studio, we're all like, oh my gosh, this is so surreal and so cool at the same time. And I'm like, well, let's just create, let's just go. And so then I just released a bunch of singles and I realized that I really love recording and writing. And up until then, most of my income has been in performing live gigs, concerts, weddings, you know, all kinds of things. And then it was like, this is where I think I'm going to just kind of keep focusing on now is recording. And now I think I want to step more into a producer role. So that all came out within like, you know, last 2 years. So yeah, it definitely shifted where my passion really lies.
let's go back to the beginnings of your life. Where were you born and raised, and kind of how did the jaws of jazz, so to speak, become something that made you who you are today?
That's a great question. Born and raised, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. My first introduction to jazz was when I was in high school, and I had sung in choir my whole life. I gravitated to choir by myself in elementary. It was like, oh, I want to go sing. Like, you know, my dad and I used to sing together, you know, when I was young, so I was, you know, comfortable with singing. And but then when I got into high school, there was this choir. There were 16 people, and they all had microphones, and they were moving and having a good time. And I was like, I want to be in that choir. And they were singing jazz. And so it was the jazz choir. And I'd never heard of any jazz up to that point. My parents didn't listen to jazz, etc. And so I went out and bought my first Ella Fitzgerald CD because I had to learn Days of Wine and Roses for the audition. So I was like, all right. So I went and listened to Ella and went in the audition, and I got in. And then it was just kind of like, that's what started the jazz vibe. And then I started continuing studying jazz with different coaches, started doing gigs, and again, more training and just learning from different mentors. And I worked in a jazz and blues club too, which was really cool. I think that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And then I started singing with a big band. Like, it just kind of all evolved. And so jazz has always kind of been a part of my life since I was young.
What was the first live gig that you ever saw that really kind of blew you away?
I have to probably say, like, Janet Jackson. Like, I was super young, like, the Rhythm Nation tour. And I was, like, just a wee kid and my neighbor. And I was like, whoa, what is happening on stage? I was at the Saddle Dome, and to be so young and just be like, she's amazing. That was definitely one of my wows for sure. Oh, God. I had an outfit like her too. Yeah, it was hardcore.
you know, when I think back to like all of the shows that I've seen, one of the most magnanimous ones, my dad was a car salesman, and they had this drawing, and he won tickets in 1984 to see Michael Jackson at Arrowhead when he was with the Jackson 5. And I was like, it just, every sense that I had was blown away. I mean, he came up with the glove out of the ground. Girls were fainting. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. It was like the Beatles, and I didn't really even know about the Beatles then. So it was like, right, a whole new experience. So anyway, yeah, I get it. I was baptized by the Jackson thing too. So
yeah,
I totally get it.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's just like, wow, what is that? It's like a supernova exploding. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, you said you were a performer before you kind of diversified yourself. You know, how did everything kind of lead into you being a singer and being comfortable with that now?
Oh, man, yeah. So I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary as a full-time musician. I, you know, I've always been a performer, like, but not in that I need attention kind of way. There was a video of me when I'm like 3. This was like my parents rented a VHS camera, whatever. And there I am, like, performing from the camera very naturally. And I don't, you know, I don't know what it is. So anyway, I just kind of did my thing and kept singing. And there was this one moment in high school when I was singing in the actual, like, choral, like, not the jazz choir. And there's, you know, like 80 of us or whatever. And then one of the assistant teachers pointed me out, stopped everyone and said, "See, Deanne, she knows how to perform. She makes love to the music." And I'm like, you know, like 16. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are you saying? Looking at me, like, is this even appropriate? Like, whoa. You know, I think I've just been comfortable with performing. Like, just, it's just been a natural thing. After high school, I went and lived in France. And I performed there. And I learned French. And I came back. And then I was like, you know, I wanted to keep singing. And, you know, performing was fun, but I had jobs, and which was great. And then I did a bunch of things. Joe, I was a barbershopper. I sang in the Sweet Adeline's chorus. I did a couple years of musical theater where I was playing lead roles. I played Ava Perone and Evita and Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ Superstar. And then I was singing in an R&B band, and then I was singing in a classic rock band. Like, I was doing all the things. And I think finally I realized that I'm going to go for this. I'm going to quit my day job and do music full time because I think I can make it work. I also went to business school, so that helped as well. And so I took the plunge, and it was just like, okay. And then I got a regular, super awesome Big Bang gig every 2 weeks. And as much as I have quite a bit of anxiety, to be honest, leading up to all the gigs, but when I'm on stage, it's like, it's cool. Whereas, like, people are always like, but you look so calm on stage. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, when you see a duck floating on the water, they look so cool. But those little legs underneath that you don't see are, like, frantically moving. that's kind of how I feel. But, you know, that also ties in with my perfectionism because, you know, it's like I really want to, it's because I care, I think, and I really want to do a great job. And so it's just a thing. And then, you know, people were hiring me and so I was like, all right, let's roll with this. So, yeah, I'm performing
right on
stage and, yeah, tonight with the circus.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, the interesting thing is that people, I don't know how many people realize this, but John F. Kennedy was terrified to speak publicly, and he was one of the best orators of the 20th century.
Right.
I mean, he was just terrified of it. So, yeah, it's funny what you see and what people are feeling. You know, what is it that you like the best about being involved in the jazz community, being a professional musician and being specifically in the jazz community?
Personally, jazz for me is super interesting, and I love what all the musicians bring to the table, and I love the collaboration and the improvisation that comes with it, and just the energy. It's kind of like we all speak this kind of different language. Jazz has its own language. We are kind of a smaller community, I would say. Obviously, the jazz world is a bit of a smaller community to the pop or the rock world. So we kind of have all this, like, special, like, I don't know how to say it. We're just like, we know jazz. And we can make stuff sound really crazy or really simple and cool all at the same time. And then we get to use all the great fancy chords, you know. And I think there's a different intimacy with jazz, I feel. Like, when I go and hear a jazz concert, it's totally just a totally different vibe. It's, again, different understanding that's going on, and a really, really appreciation for, you know, the musicians that are just slaying their talent, because, you know, they've been shedding and shedding and shedding for days and hours just to hit all those right notes and and to be as jazzy as possible. And again, I just think we're small, but we're mighty, you know. And as well, we are also, I can't speak for everyone else but myself, but I can speak for me, is that I also take, you know, a bit my jazz into all, you know, genres. Right? I don't just sing jazz. Someone asked me, you know, what is your preferred genre? And I said, well, music, really, because, you know, yes, a lot of my repertoire is jazz, but I've also got, you know, a really sappy pop mother-son dance ballad, and I have a funky electro dance tune called Palm Tree Party. And, you know, for me, it's about creating and just exploring and kind of showing my art to the world, no matter what genre kind of comes out of me as original material anyway.
If you could get into a jazz DeLorean, go see your dream show, anywhere, anyone in the history of jazz, where are you going? Who are you going to see?
Frank Sinatra. Boom.
Where at?
Ooh, probably in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, I'm so sad. I was too young. I mean, there's a lot of greats, and some would say, well, he wasn't very jazzy or whatever. I mean, he never soloed or improvised, but not a jazz vocalist, solo and improvised. And he just had a presence about him and an emotion and an energy. I can hear it in his recordings, you know. And I was like, I could only imagine being in the audience with him and just, like, being under his spell. His phrasing is incredible. And his stage act, you know, like, he's funny, he's just a natural, and yet he also was so talented. And he got to, you know, he played with big bands, and back in the days too, like, they went in and recorded live off the floor. There was none of this after, you know, fixing and auto-tuning and, you know, moving this, moving that. It was like, okay guys, we're gonna get this done in a couple takes, and then next, right? So I have so much appreciation for the vocalists back then as well, because they had to really be on point to record. You have to be able to sing to lay down an album. Nobody was going to change your voice or fix you or just throw it in attitude 100%. You're like, no problem.
Yep.
But yeah, Frank, oh my gosh. For sure, 100%.
Let's say you have a dream tonight. You run into the younger version of yourself around the time you were starting to become a professional. And based on the wisdom that you've gotten throughout the years, if you could give yourself, your younger version, one piece of advice, what would it be?
Take yourself so seriously. Let go of the perfection. Have fun. Enjoy. And doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. Just go for it. You got this. You got this.
Now that COVID's kind of eroding away and we're getting on the other side of this, more live gigs, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music that we've been away from for so long?
Oh, I mean, man, I have to share with you, back in December, I was doing a Christmas gig at the Big Baron, and I felt it because afterwards, people were coming up crying and hugging me, because I think they missed that energy and that connection, and that's the power of live music, is that connection that, I can't speak for everyone else, but when I'm up there performing, my job is to connect. I have no control over how the audience is going to respond, but I need to show up and do me. And if people connect, like, it's incredible, right? And I think there's nothing like a really good live show. And it's not perfect. And you connect. And you have fun. And you dance. And you're connecting with other odd. It's like this whole Super Bowl of energy that is just so intense. If it's a really great concert for me, I'll cry. I feel inspired when I leave. I mean, stuff happens on stage that you'll never hear on a recording, because that's the beauty of live music, right? It'll never be the same show twice. I'm sure people have missed it. I mean, I know everyone was doing kind of live streaming and stuff, but for me, I was like, oh, not the same. I want to be in a room with people and feel that whole thing. And I want to see their day and what they've went through as artists. And yeah, I mean, live music, I think the world would die if there was no music, in my opinion. Like how people relate to music for so many things. If there was no music, I don't know, right? I don't know how would you feel, Joe, right? If like their old son, there was just no music anymore.
Oh, it'd be bad. I mean, it's like with this pandemic, if we didn't have art, you know, whether it was TV or film or visual or music, it would have been really, really dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone has a perception of you, an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans. But ultimately, you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
I am a badass Canadian is what I am.
All right. I like it.
Vulnerable, sensitive, powerful, really open, and emotional, and kind, and supportive. Yeah. Who I am. That's who I am.
Well, I saved the hardest one for last. Thank you for taking a minute out. I apologize for the delay, but I appreciate your time on the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I appreciate you and all that you do. And, you know, thank you again for hanging out with me.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and singers in Canada, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Deanne for her time, music, and stories. Want to hear more interviews? Go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And finally, everything Joe Domino related, go to JoeDomino.com. And if you feel like it, you can donate to the Neon Jazz cause there. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends. Ba-do-yah, ba-do-yah.
Neon Jazz.